The following Toku podcast to contain spoilers from both past and present tokusatsu, anime, manga, movies and other related media. If you do not wish to be spoiled, we suggest turning off the podcast now. Otherwise, please enjoy the show.
All right. We're now synced up and recording.
Yep.
Now let's start this this actual episode. So in 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Toku Podcast, the best show about tokusatsu you probably never heard of. I am always as AJ, and it's funny that the theme song for this movie is Forever, because it really felt that fucking way. Uh-huh. Anyways, that's Jay.
Hello.
That's Phil.
Hey.
That's Nemet.
Hello.
Now let's talk about this fucking movie that actually gave me a headache. We're reviewing Kamen Rider Shin. Why?
Because only moments after AJ is finished watching it.
Yep.
The moment Phil started this call, I quite literally just finished the last scene. Anyways, so let's talk about why this movie didn't get a fucking sequel and why I'm so goddamn glad.
Well,
oh my god.
There's various reasons for that. Mostly because the
one of them being Cosmic Baby.
It wasn't a cosmic baby.
Yes.
It was a mutant grasshopper baby. That's the difference.
What's it was a difference? Mutant grasshopper cosmic baby that emitted light. What the fuck was that? Wait, and wasn't she pregnant for like a week and she's already like full developed? Like, what the fuck is this movie?
Listen, man. It's mutants. You don't gotta explain this shit.
Mutants, Lamau. No, it's cyborg soldiers or something.
But it's not even cyborg.
Look, it's Amazon cells. That's it. Simple enough.
Okay, fine. You know what? I'll take it.
Dude, Amazon's got nothing on this.
Let's start from the beginning. And by the beginning, I mean stupid. Okay, so can we actually just finish answering the question? Was this supposed to be taken seriously?
I don't know.
Yes.
Because I really can't fucking tell, because there's points where the people look like they're about to break out laughing.
So the story behind the creation was, I don't remember if he was directly involved with the creation or he just like designed a bunch of the shit, but it was essentially it was Shotaro Ishinomori wanting to get back into Rider and do a quote unquote real one, as in like set in the real ish world, and it's like monsters and stuff like that. When I first saw the movie, when I first heard about it, I was under the impression he wrote the movie. Apparently reality decided to change its mind and he is no longer the writer of the movie this time that we've watched it, so I don't know what the fuck happened.
It's Alan Smithy.
No, actually it's his son.
Shotaro Smithy.
Which would probably explain why the script went through, but well, that's neither here nor there.
Speaking of Shotaro, was he the bushy-haired old man in the last...
Yes,
he was.
Ishinomori actually has a cameo in the movie, and you can tell because...
This was Ishinomori one of the last cameos he had, didn't he?
I think so, actually.
Cameos he had before he died, I think.
Yeah, in any real anything that he's worked on, this is the last time he ever appeared in anything, I believe. There might be one more thing, because I know he might have
come out for Zetto, I'm sorry. Yeah, I can't call it Zetto anymore.
He's in the Zetto manga, but that's like a side story thing that's already taking place in the real world, and it's him as himself, and it doesn't really matter. Yeah, this is the last time he was really ever directly involved with anything up until the pre-production of Kuga. You know how that ended.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this was his last cameo.
So, it was essentially him and everybody else trying to make, like, a gritty, realistic story in the early 90s, so everything is super edgy and grimy and dark and disgusting
and boobies
confusing as fuck, but well, That's because they were under the impression there was going to be more than one. Obviously, there is not more than one. This movie did not do very well. If you've seen it, you know why. If you haven't, well, we'll explain.
Well, we're going to tell you why it's shit. fucking... sucked. So
where to begin?
Let's start with our main lead. Shin. Funny enough, his name's Shin. Get it? Anyways. So
yeah,
let's start with
lazy.
Our let's
I'm fine with it though.
Let's start with our main lead, Shin.
For a one shot, it's at least clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's better than Zeta where
yeah,
he
but like I said, like
fucking name.
Yeah, but like I said, like let's start with let's hit with him first because he is just goofy. He's so fucking goofy. The entire fucking movie. It's like there's times where he's supposed to look like he's in pain, but all I hear is just, oh, I need an Advil.
Oh, God.
It's like, you're supposed to be in mind-wrenching pain.
He's not the best actor, to be perfectly honest.
Nobody in this movie is.
Well, unless you count the Shinomori, but that doesn't count really.
Like, did you see the girl who played I?
Yeah.
Like that fucking bitch, she couldn't emote for shit.
I don't know. I like the nameless leader of the nameless organization.
The CIA.
The
place they were working. He was a pretty good ham.
I actually know what the institute is called. It's called the Institute of Super Sciences Technologies.
Nerd.
That's a terrible.
It is.
Yeah, but it has a good acronym, the ISS.
You can't just
as we saw.
Like, I don't know. You can't just ask like NASA to rip off their name. Just call it JASA or something. Or NASADA or something. I don't know. Something different. Like I said, honestly, the acronyms are the worst part of the the least bit of the fucking problems with this movie.
Indeed.
The movie kind of starts like middle of the story anyways. Like there's already like a grasshopper monster thing killing people. It's like they're already doing these experiments, and Shin's like, he's already kind of maybe a monster or not. It's never really clear.
We don't know.
This entire movie is so confusing in the way of like, I know what they want to do.
The biggest problem is that a lot of it is just kind of wasting time. So the central plot arc of our main hero is that he keeps having these psychic visions, not necessarily psychic, but like these visions of a weird monster going on killing sprees, and then the next morning, you know, oh, mysterious monster has killed people. He's like, oh, it's me, it's gotta be me, all the experiments I'm doing, I've been turned into a monster, blah blah blah. And he's, you know, he's not really investigating, he's more bumbling his way into the answers that he needs.
See, the part about that pisses me off is the fact that the whole time I was under the assumption that Onizuka was going to be the main villain. Like, he was going to be the final dude. Because the thing is, they bring that up, that telepathy bullshit, or as they say, telepathy. They bring that up in this fucking movie as some fucking big thing. Like, it's going to be super important. And then Onizuka dies, and then it's like, oh, I guess we just forgot. Fuck it.
That's
I
thought, too.
Yeah. That's the
because there's no other grasshopper monsters after Onizuka, so it's like that whole telepathy thing doesn't mean anything.
First of all, the whole plot itself doesn't mean anything because we learn 10 minutes into the movie that Shin is not the one doing the murders and that there's another monster running around doing it. And yet the movie doesn't seem to treat this as like it's a shocking reveal that's supposed to be like a big twist or dramatic irony. The movie keeps treating it as if we didn't learn this literally in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
and that's what I'm saying. Like, at first, I was expecting, because the movie set you up, at least it set me up, as it's going to be a really shitty, cheesy C movie. Like,
it kind
bottom of the barrel, just garbage. type of garbage that I would like to sit around and drink a beer with.
Do you know what it feels like?
But no.
It feels like those canon films that came out like many years ago, or new image films, those movies they show on the Sci-Fi Network.
Like I said, I can see what you're going with, but I this almost feels like those really shitty, almost like exploitative horror films, like Vampire Hookers, only without any of the fucking charm to it.
So like below Hammer horror tier, but still above like Asylum tier.
Oh my god.
Because at least this didn't use fucking
what do you call it, like shitty CG that comes straight out of a on screen it didn't use shitty CG from a PS2 game, so that's fine.
Well, no, because it was in 1992, they didn't even have PS1 yet.
This is true. We could have used the Super FX chip.
Commodore graphics.
they didn't have the Super FX yet.
Wait, no, Super Nintendo came out in 91 in America, so 90 Japan? Yeah, they would have had it.
Okay, valid point there.
Unless Star Fox didn't come out in 92, which I don't know if it did. I don't know. I'm
important.
Too lazy to check.
Star Fox came out in February 93.
So they wouldn't have had it.
Before the Super FX.
Damn, no Super FX ship for this movie.
I actually quite like, because they rely very heavily on practical effects.
Some of them are good.
A lot of it does look pretty good, despite the...
Oh, it does.
The decidedly low-budget, you know, tone of it. Hell, even...
Yeah,
even
I was actually going to...
Even Zeto was actually, higher budget.
Yeah, I was actually going to mention that. Zeto had... The biggest...
Sorry, you go ahead.
No, I was actually going to mention, like, that's probably one of the only good things about this movie is that, I mean, the fucking effects are really damn good. Except for one, and I think Jay already knows which one. It's the department store marionette they just taped straws to be Inozuka in fucking fire.
Yeah. But
that fucking bullshit. I was like, what is that? Come on. It's literally just like some explosion. Dude. It's some fucking stagehand just bobbing it back and forth, man. Come on.
It's very obviously, like, a dummy they just set on fire because none of the limbs or anything are moving, and it's just, like, bobbing back and forth completely.
Like,
hovering above the ground.
It looks so bad. And, dude, at that part of the movie, I had to pause it because I was just like, this movie was made as a joke. This can't be serious. That's bullshit. Oh god, that was awful. Like the fact that it really does look like you just taped two straws to its fucking head. It's like, come on.
Isn't this supposed to be a movie? More comfortable burning that than some expensive prosthetic, but still it did look pretty cheap.
Like, isn't this supposed to be a movie? Come on.
By the bare minimum standards it is.
I guess. But yeah, besides that, I mean, everything else.
I'm being hard on it. I like it, like, ironically, because it's like, okay, this is goofy, this is silly. I know with, like, a higher budget or a little bit, like, extra work, they could have made this actually good. But it's like, even then, the writing is not particularly great. There's a lot... Again, the problem of they seem to have been convinced they were going to get a sequel because they keep introducing shit and then never explaining any of it.
Pretty much.
The tonal shifts in this movie are fucking insane.
Dude, like the best,
like the one part where Shin basically is telling him like, oh, I'm a monster to I and fucking random knacker number 5. Like he's like, I'm a monster. Oh my god.
That was preceded 30 seconds before.
It was just like them joking around, and then immediately, oh my god, I'm a monster. It's like,
and again, they immediately believe him. He's like, I've killed people, I'm a monster. And they're just like, it's not true, that's impossible.
Okay, I believe you.
And then is that when they're at the gym the first time or the gym the second time where there's
Second time with their artsy fartsy across the universe tier sex scene, apparently.
The best friend says, oh, I'm going to be, he needs you now more than ever. I see her unbuttoning. I'm like, okay, I know they're not going where I think they are. Get the shower. And then you see actual exposed boob. I'm like, whoa, that's not something I think I'd see.
Again, there's, again, like, you can't even call that a boob. That's like a, not even an anthill. That's like a,
and then there was something else I didn't think I'd see in a Kamen Rider movie. Bear asses!
I don't know. I mean, it was in a fucking, what was it, heart?
No, we didn't even see.
This is true, you did. No, I think you saw you saw side ass.
At least with Medic, we at least got.
It's close enough.
There's one Kamen Rider movie I know where you see somebody's ass.
Yeah,
like modern, but the important thing was there wasn't a protective layer of rubber or plastic or anything between ass and our view. This was just, well, there's a couple of moons right there. Those kids need a bit more sun.
The funny thing that got me is that, like, apparently the entire scene, though, like, the entire time they were banging, like, they just never kissed. I was like, oh, dude, that's fucking low. Jesus. No, they did, apparently. They probably shagged in the shower. Like, and then they went swimming.
It's not particularly...
I need the semantics of this sex scene.
This is not a kid's movie.
It's not, actually. This movie is technically rated R, isn't it?
I don't think it technically has a rating, but this was not.
Hold on,
This was not made for kids.
So let me see here. It was not.
Bushin was meant more for an older audience intentionally, which is why it's, you know, violent and gritty and confusing.
Yeah, it was, as it said at the start of the movie, it was part of the, you know, 20th anniversary project for Kamen Rider. It was supposed to be meant for fans who grew up with the original.
The first of three 20th anniversary projects. But we'll get to that when we get to the other movies.
And certainly, so far, because I've at least seen Jay, certainly the least of those three, because I can't imagine Zetto being worse than this.
Well, we'll get to that if we ever
but
do
the best
that,
tonal
but,
shift I can say fair. As well is the first time they're at the gym and they're all working out and everything and they're joking around saying, why don't you profess your love to Aishin? And they're all joking around and then he sees the newspaper with the article that pertained to his dream. And he's going, it was me.
Again, it's so stupid because, like, every 5 fucking minutes, it's like there's something that's kind of lighthearted, and then they go right back to, oh god, I'm a murderer.
Oh, like, I have to brood now.
It's like, get the fuck over yourself, man. Come on here. And that's not even getting into everything about, like, with Onizuka's fucking weird Judeo-Satanistic ritual. Can somebody please explain to me why he had a fucking, like, warehouse dressed up like a goddamn, like, Halloween dollar store? With fucking crosses and Stars of David? It's like, is he a Satanist? What is this?
You know, when you're a cyborg robot Bugman scientist, you gotta, you know, you're a little bit of eccentricities, as they say.
Yeah, you can't call him a mad scientist without mad.
He was having sex with science.
But yeah, I love, this dude is just, like, immediately and obviously, like, insane when he starts talking about, like, bugs and God and, like, shit like that, and Shin's just like,
long after the humans are gone, the grasshoppers will rule the world.
And Shin's just basically like, okay.
Sure, what about when it snows, buddy?
He's immediately accepting of this. Like, yeah, alright, I'm getting paid anyways.
He just kind of goes along with it, and then never, like...
Yeah, it's like, bro, I'm getting paid by the hour.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I don't really care. It's like, come on, dude. Again, the entire movie is like this. Then again, it's not helped by Shin's actor that he just looks constantly uninterested in everything.
Yeah.
It's either uninterested or disgusted. Like, either one.
it's more uninterested, it seems like. I think the one of the bigger problems is more that, like, the villains barely exist. They're just evil, shadowy organization that are evil because of reasons, and they don't really have any solid motivation or anything like that. It's just they, well, you know, we're the organization, and we do this thing. Who are we?
I kind of understand what they're supposed to be. You know, they're supposed to be this Illuminati-ish type thing where it's like, oh my god, they ruled politics and money and jobs and entertainment and all this shit. I get that angle, but we don't see any of that. And by the time this is over, the main dude is dead. Unless this is just like one part of the organization and there's like the top dude that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I mean, this was all very heavily meant to be setting up through the later movie kind of thing there. And it really hurts the film that they didn't like think to, you know, plan ahead just in case they didn't get the sequel. I think that's really the biggest issue with the movie is that they kind of got overconfident and it really shows and it just kind of becomes a mess.
You see, yep. I can perfectly explain how I was this entire movie, and it was both of my elbows on my knees and just kind of looking at the screen blankly, just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, other than, like, the fight scenes where it's just, like, balls-to-the-wall nonsense action, not a whole lot kind of happens in the movie.
Yeah, the fights were really the best part, I'd say.
That's the sad thing because everything else I was either really questioning or extremely apathetic towards. I'm just like, I don't really care. Oh, boobs, neat,
I guess. Pregnant babies.
No, see that grasshopper. I was at. See that
there's
was
a
the part of the movie
we didn't need.
That was the part of the movie when we see the little mutant Shin baby. I was so close to just saying, you know what? I don't need to know how this ends. I'm just going to close this and tell everybody I said fuck it. I'm just, that's it. That's my review. Fuck it.
You know, it's super weird because, like, okay, you can think, like, there's a couple of things they do. It's like the organization, this, you know, the government guy's trying to get Shin, and, you know, his whole weird monster bug man nature thing. It's like, okay, you can see there's ideas here. And then we get to psychic grasshopper mutant baby child
that has renewable energy apparently,
and you're just like, it's, you're just baffled by it because he's like, how the what the fuck do you even do with this?
What I was wondering was, was there a time skip I didn't see? Because that baby's
fully
developed.
It's still a fetus, but it's.
Technically, but it looks more.
Dead.
It looks
like, what the fuck's gonna happen?
Mutants grow faster, and our
as long as the baby lives and I die, I shall be at peace. Well, too fucking bad.
Did.
You're gonna die too, lady.
And spoiler.
Well, it's not how that works.
It's not gonna live.
By the way, if the mother dies, the baby's gonna die too.
Yes,
that's what I was saying. That's what we're saying. Like,
but who knows with psychic mutants?
That's what I was saying, Phil. Like, she was saying this whole time, like, as long as the baby lives, I will be happy and at peace. It's like, he's not even 5 months old. He's gonna die. You're both gonna die.
Failed there.
You're both kind of fucked Roni and cheese.
Shin, okay, when it comes to Shin, you look at Shin. His father uses him as a test subject. His father's lab assistant becomes his lover and becomes the mother of his mutant baby grasshopper child. And his father's partner is a maniacal grasshopper man.
They're all
see,
the Foundation
X. See, this entire movie, the theme of this entire movie is, Shin, you're a fucking loser.
Honestly, this should have been a soap opera, not a movie.
This loser is you.
It was trying to be a soap opera in 90 minutes, and 90 minutes is not long enough.
I was waiting for that movie to end. I was
90 minutes was too fucking long for me. Like,
oh,
legit.
Yeah. No, it was too long for this movie, for sure. But
again, yeah, maybe it's because I'm like, maybe it's because I was a little grumpy going into this movie. My head really fucking hurt, and then watching this just didn't fucking help. And I just thought to myself, can we just like say we recorded Shin and it exploded or something?
I'll at least agree that's a believable excuse considering our track record, but
it's like, can we just say that, like, I don't know, fucking Foundation X came and took it away or something. I don't know. Anything would be better than watching this.
Every time I watched this movie, not every time, when I was watching this movie, all I could think of...
I was about to say you watched it more than once. What the fuck?
I mean, I have. I fucking love this movie. Yeah, but here's stupid what as I was... hell, and that's why I like it.
I don't have the funds for alcohol like you, Jay. I can't take this.
Remembering, I kept comparing this to Hakaider, to Mechanical Violator Hakaider, and because they both kind of remind me of each other. But here's the thing: Hakaider at least was fun, was at least joking with itself, and it was actually pretty interesting, and it was funny. This was not. This was like, oh my god, I'm watching an Asylum film.
Well, I think the thing with the Hakaider is that there's so much weird and like insane shit happening constantly that there's never any downtime for you to like question anything or lose interest and be like, what the fuck is going on? It's all stupid all the time. Shin does not have that benefit, so there's plenty of downtime for you just kind of
Shin is grounded lose in interest, reality. And that's like,
what the fuck are we talking about?
And see, I was actually gonna say too, like the biggest. I think the entire time I was watching this movie, I was kind of thinking of Hakaider in the back of my head too. Like the entire time. Because I was thinking, this is the anti-Hakaider. This movie is anti-Hakaider. Because Hakaider had, like, maybe one or two scenes that were just, whatever. And then the rest was just like, what the fuck is happening? And this movie is just like... But this movie has, like, two scenes like that, and the rest is just like, whatever. Fuck it, I guess.
Yeah.
Can I go back to Jesus Town?
This movie had a lot more fun over there. Just get a little too 90s edginess in there and not enough substance.
Honestly, I can't even call it 90s edginess. It just felt like pure melodrama. Just super melodrama. The whole goddamn movie. And it was just boring. It was fucking boring.
I have to agree.
Oh, God. You see, I could see many points in this movie where I could have a couple of friends over and we're laughing hysterically at some things on screen. Like the cosmic baby. Like, we can laugh. I can laugh.
Guy with no eyes.
That guy was fucking freaky. That guy is fucking creepy.
The big bad sidekick is this, like, 6 foot tall mute dude who has literally no eyebrows.
Where the fuck are his eyebrows?
And of course, he turns out to be a cyborg because
something,
you know,
out of like H.R. Geiger.
I mean, his design is awesome.
The designs were done by Ishinomori, so that's why they're good. That's the, you know, also one of the good things you can take away from the movie is that all of the designs are superb. There's Shin, I'm sure you've seen in any of like the big crossover stuff if you've ever watched those. He's this creepy fucking weirdo mutant monster, and it's just gross and disturbing. And he doesn't like transform. His transformation is like a solid minute and a half, and you just see him like slowly like twisting and his like eyes turning red and shit.
What's the good word to say for body horror that you actually are, you know what, it's grotesquely like interested body horror, you know what I mean?
Like
I think
really
that's the best way to say it.
Transformation of gills.
Mm-hmm. Kinda. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that Gills took a few steps from this.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, there's some design similarities you can see there.
Especially with the transformations.
But it's clear that it was an idea that they wanted to revisit later on, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, not so much with Amazons, but kind of there a little bit. Especially with the non-writer Amazons there, the actual monster ones.
I can't believe it.
You know, which, and I'm somewhat, you know, glad but also disappointed because apparently they were planned to, as the movies went on, Shin was going to become more writer-like, where he's going to become less of like a weirdo mutant and like starts becoming more like armorish. He'd get a belt and be like, he would turn in more into like an actual writer rather than being.
Like, you see, like how that when sounds we, interesting. Kind of like how when we see Black's transformation, we get that glimpse of the grasshopper monster, but then
yeah, we get
straight on to the armor
form underneath. Yeah,
yeah.
You see that
to remind us that he's not quite human anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds interesting. Yeah, and that almost sounds like it. It takes a couple of like tweaks to get to this conclusion, but it almost sounds like that was the idea they had from Shin to Kamen-Rider the First, a little bit. To where it's like, you know,
you can see a little bit of it in the first there, not too much, but
that's what I was saying. Like, I could definitely see, you know, if they wanted to, the first could have been, you know, basically what Shin would have turned into. I could see that.
Yeah, I think that was. I don't think there's any actual concept art or like any actual plan designed other than he was going to get a belt and become more rider like. I've seen this one picture of what looks like Shin or a very similar design with like a leather jacket and like a fancy-ish rider belt, and I'm not sure if this is like actual concept art or it's just like a fan art like sketch idea, but it's a very similar, it's like a hybrid between the two there, and you can see elements of it coming into place. Like, okay, this might be how it was.
Wait. Shin has fans?
Well, didn't you know he's the most popular Pretty Cure character?
You know what? I can see that. He is pretty.
Yeah, for some fucking reason, Shin keeps appearing in a lot of crossover fan art with Pretty Cure. I don't know why.
I think it's because like Shin is so fucking ugly and Pretty Cure is, well, pretty.
Other than that, like, I don't get the joke, but it's hilarious because I keep seeing like fan art pop up places, and then there's Shin in the background, and you know, all these like, you know, fancy, like, it's like pink and yellow and the dresses and shit, and then there's just Shin in the background, and he's just like drooling and like dripping blood and shit. And it's like, oh,
well, at least something good came out of Pretty Cure, so there we go.
Oh, that's also true.
Ooh, I can already hear the calls. Anyways, besides Shin, because again, we talked a lot about Shin himself. I mean, who else can we talk about besides, you know, the girl with the largest forehead and who always looks like she's
on the verge of
either crying or laughing.
Did you see the bags under
her
eyes?
Well, that's the thing is that.
Oh, yeah. She looked like she wanted to just go to bed.
Well, to be fair, everybody really can.
It's like, we need you on set. Yeah. I just got home.
You
want to
get paid, woman? Get
take
on set. Strip, damn it!
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't need to do that.
In this scene, you're going to have a cosmic baby.
I don't want a cosmic baby.
She's like, all right.
What do I have to do? Just lie there. Okay!
Just lie there so we can put the little dots on your tummy so the CG animators can put it over the effects. You know?
Yeah, it works for me.
Just sit there. It'll be fine. It's so fucking stupid.
Honestly, with the characters in this are, for the most part, just all so flat. All of our sort of brief touches on them have really covered any sort of personality or contribution they made.
Remember the towel guy?
I remember he fell down, and he was the only funny thing in the movie.
He had the most character development because he just wanted to work, and this asshole tossed him over. He gets paid minimum wage. He gets paid minimum wage, asshole. Let him use his fucking towels. Remember
group of task force from the CIA? Right? They're the people that are trying to stop the organization.
Yeah. Yes, I remember the lady speaking well enunciated English.
I wouldn't say she had the best. But then again, anybody who spoke English in this movie sounded like they just forgot that they were humans. Do we even have
Japanese agents in the American CIA?
According to the Yakuza games and this movie, absolutely.
I don't know, Phil. Do you know any CIA agents? If so, just ask them. That he knows of.
That's right. He was? Shin was Ultraman Hikari.
Neat.
Yeah.
Wow, Ultraman.
Wow, he's a much more popular character. Ultraman is more popular than Ryder? Franchise. What a shock.
I'd say
Well, comparatively speaking.
Depends on who you ask. There's
gonna be somebody, if you walked up to somebody random in America, it's like, hey, do you know what Ultraman is? They'd probably say yes compared to
Matt. To be fair, that could also just be chalked up to like what we talked about like in the New Year's episode where, you know, Japan brought over Ultraman and not Kamen Rider. So
yeah, pretty much.
Then again, during that time, I'm pretty sure Ultraman was the only thing that was around because Kamen Rider didn't come to like 75. So there you go. 71.
Basically, but that's not the point I was really making there. But either way.
Well, here you go. There you go for your history lesson of the day, kids.
I've already forgotten it. Hooray!
Yeah, I barely... I had to actually keep reminding myself...
If only.
Throughout intervals of different hours saying, okay, what happened in Shin? What happened in Shin? Because I don't remember anything from this movie.
Phil, I literally just finished watching it, and I don't remember half of this shit. I barely remember most of the people's names. I don't even know what the fuck was going on half the time. I was so done.
Oh yeah, other grasshopper man. I also need
the guy who wanted to fuck grasshoppers.
You guys were talking about the fire scene when Onizuka's on fire, right?
See, when that happened, no joke, I thought, oh, he used a marionette to sneak away. No, that was him! I was so, like, I was so done. I was like, oh my fucking god, that's the effect, really? The marionette I can go get at JCPenney is what you use for someone on fire. You can't even pay somebody to put on a fire suit for 30 seconds.
I'm guessing somebody also.
God damn it!
Somebody who made Mortal Kombat was a real fan of Shin, considering the finisher move that Shin does on Eyebrowless.
Oh yeah, the fucking their final fight, Shin. You know,
did Eyebrow dude punches, have a no name?
Kicks. He just.
Never I don't remember.
The credits give him a name. I think it's like. Goshima or something, according to the wiki here. I don't know, it doesn't matter. But anyways, in their final fight, Shin, you know, screw rider kicks, screw anything like that. I'm just gonna fucking rip your head off.
Did do that.
Still attached. Yeah, you know, casual. And
pretty much.
And of course, the head explodes because, you know, it has to.
See, the funniest
of course
part
the head's
to
a
me,
bomb.
The funniest part to me was, like, at first, right, when Shin first turned into his fucking disgusting rider form, I love the fact that Ai just goes right up to him and hugs him. It's like, lady, this guy can rip your head off. You have no idea if he's going to or not.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
Well, of course not. He's not that stupid.
It's like, what are you doing? He could literally murder you on the spot, and you're gonna go up to hug this guy who's possibly not all there right now. You're fucking stupid.
It was in
the
her
mutant
stomach.
Baby wasn't here yet.
It was in her stomach.
Maybe it was.
No, it wasn't.
It was sex on the dock.
The mutant baby didn't. The mutant. No, no, no. The mutant baby didn't come around until Shin told her that she was Shin, that he was Shin, or something like that. You know what I mean? Oh wait, no, no, no. You know what? Did when she found out he was Shin? Did he find? Was that after the shower scene?
I don't know.
Okay, so then, if it was before the shower scene, then no, she did not have the baby in her. It was after the shower scene.
No, the hug is after the shower scene, so it has to be during that.
God, I can't even remember the sequence of events in this movie.
When they're laying like that, that usually means you have sex, okay? The way they tell us how they had sex was swimming.
Phil, I don't know, Phil. Phil, I don't know what type of sex you have. What am I kidding? What have you? But I don't usually lay on inflatables after I have sex.
On a bed.
I don't. Like that's not something that usually happens.
I mean, hey, you're just not living right if you aren't doing that.
Yeah, let me light an after sex cigarette in a pool.
Hey,
let's do that shit. Get ash on
that. That is a very smart idea. That will not end poorly.
I could say something, but let's move on. Anyways, so what else happened in this movie? People died, it was dumb, explosions, Asian lady got shot, helicopter.
Ishinomori helicopter. Was a spy for some reason.
Yeah, he was up an entire there, building. I guess.
Yeah, a big building. Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Defeated by getting a chair thrown at his head.
Mm-hmm. The power of furniture.
The power of a chair shot.
And never ever doubt that IKEA shopping trip.
Shin commits like murder, like literal murder.
Several people who I'm pretty sure were not even actually involved in the villains or anything. You know, guys just doing their job. They have no idea what the fuck is going on. They just see a weirdo mutant in here.
So see, what I gotta know is, was Onizuka? Was Onizuka? Was he? Was he, like, cognizant of what he was doing the whole time? Or was he not, like, or was...
I would assume that since Shin is, he was as well.
Because that's what I didn't really understand. Like, was he also in control of what he was doing? Or was it just a thing of, it's 50-50? Like, I didn't really get that.
I'm gonna go with the former, since... We get very little of him besides the fact that he's a fucking freak who is obsessed with bugs and also kills people. So I'm gonna go with the former of those two options there.
I feel like probably high as balls on something.
I feel like there was like a lot of part. I feel like there was a lot of this movie that was cut out. Like a lot of the screenplay for this movie was cut out. So a lot of like actual character motivation was too. So that really hurts the fucking movie, but you know that also doesn't. But like I said, the biggest thing for me was the fact that like I just got really bored. I was just really bored with this movie.
This reminds me of a fairly stupid sounding analogy regarding making a movie. A movie's a lot like a potluck. If everyone brings salad, no one's going to be satisfied. This movie was too much salad.
I could see that.
Fucking analogy and a half, if I've ever heard one.
I hope you like salad. You know, you're going to have some guy in the comments, actually, I don't really care for salad.
And then we just say, oh, fuck you.
That was the point of what I said.
Yeah, but no salad, please, thank you. I'm salad intolerant. By the way, if you actually have an allergy to all salads, that's fucking crazy. I feel bad for you. But anyways, back to this movie.
I don't know what to talk about.
This movie's garbage.
I think pretty much everything's been said. I think we all more or less agree this movie is...
Yeah.
Just fast forward to the fights, and that's it. Maybe just watch the fights and you don't need anything else because there is nothing else.
Yeah. This,
as much fun as I have with this movie, with how stupid it is, it's certainly lacking in a lot of things that could keep most people's attentions for very long, to be entirely honest.
Again, it's like I said, it feels like a movie that you absolutely need to have people around. Because with something like Hikiter, I can watch it just fine by myself and laugh at the silliness. Ha ha, Jesus Town. Ha ha, ha ha, they did surgery on a fucking grape. You know, I can laugh at the stupid memes. But, like, with this, it's like, even with people, like, I feel like it would still be too boring. Like, we would eventually just start talking about something else. You know, it's just, that's just the type of movie we got here. But, anyways, I think at that point, let's bring out the good old-fashioned quill.
Although I saw this, as soon as I finished the movie, I went straight back to Akito because I needed something to rinse out that terrible taste in my mouth. Yes.
You needed a palate cleanser, yeah. Understandable.
Understandable. Have a nice day. But yeah, let's bring out this piece of shit. Get the fuck up here. Okay. And the ground it round, there it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Mini, meeny, miny, mo. Catch the tiger by... Wow. Okay. So, let's see here. Come on.
We're going to see soon.
I wish the snipping tool would come up. That would be nice. The
snipping tool, it's how he takes his screenshots. Try Greenshot sometime. It's good.
I only use that because it was already on the computer, so I just said fuck it.
I'm telling you, if it was like Pentai Common, it would have been 10 times better.
Well, yeah, because Hentai Common was fun.
Yeah, well,
good. And it was a better good movie.
Exactly.
A parody of Kamen Rider that takes itself seriously about perverts is better than an actual gritty remake written by the creators of Kamen Rider's own son.
To be fair,
some other guy.
No, I was gonna say, to be fair, I usually don't let that whole thing cloud what I think about a movie. Because if I go off, it's the son of the man who did it. It's like, that usually doesn't tell me anything.
Well, it was co-written by the head writer of Hurricanger, who also did...
Ishinomori's son?
He also did writing for fucking... it was co-written by Ishinomori's son and Junichi Miyashita. Jesus. Main writer of Hurricanger, who also did writing for Code Veronica.
Okay. That's weird.
There's a lot of Toku alums in the writing for Resident Evil games.
Oh, and the also the main writer of B Fighter, and I think Exceed Draft as well. Oh, he's done a lot of shit, and yeah, basically, and then also covered in by Ishinomori's.
All right, so he... Oh, fuck.
Nothing else since,
basically. Okay, so now, since I have this open, and I have the wheel finally done, all right.
Oh,
here
boy.
You guys go! It's Gaver!
Oh, good, it's the fucking anime and not the fucking movie.
Oh no, trust me, those are up there too. Actually, wait, there's been two, right? So I guess we just do the first one. The original one from the 90s, I think?
Where am I gonna find that?
Yay.
We'll deal with that later.
Yes, Gaver anime, Gaver baby Dan Dan. That's the right one, right? Anyways.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. Thank you. Anyway, with that being said, that brings us to a close tonight. So, as always, I've been AG. Thank you for listening. If you like what you listen to, give us a follow. Follow us on the on them pod beans. We need some more beans for our chili. That's been Phil.
Children,
that
please sounded give us your wrong.
Beans. Father, I crave beans. That's Phil.
Yeah, that sounds Phil. About right for AJ.
Pool sex is great. Don't watch this movie. Oh, I know.
How would you know?
No, you don't. Anyways, that's Jay.
Well, I at least had fun. Edgy. You guys are just fucking weird.
That's Nemet.
I am fucking weird. Thanks.
And I'm gonna go take a nap. See you guys.